Oral care is one of the top health needs facing people with disabilities, and at the same time, people with disabilities, especially who suffer from higher oral risk and disease. And I'll be speaking to Allison Segal, founder of Oral Health. Total Health is working close and to close the gap and make health more accessible. She is joining us over the phone, and she is president and founder of Oral Health, Total Health, and part of the Faculty of Dentistry at the University of Toronto.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Am I speaking? Hello, Allison?
Yes, this is Allison.
Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, that's great. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about how the program got started.
Sure. So it was a couple of years ago in 2008 when I first became a dental student at University of Toronto, and spending the summer previously to that at the Mount Sinai Hospital Dentistry Clinic, which really caters for persons with special needs, whether it be mental or physical. Any type of special need, the patients there are welcomed. And I did a lot of research, and what I found was the real lack of access to care. So a lot of patients that we were seeing at the clinic were coming from distances such as Kingston, Sudbury, North Bay, some patients traveling 8 hours to be seen in Toronto for a 15-minute checkup. And we looked into it and said, well, is this a trend? Is this what's happening? And unfortunately, for the past 30 years, oral health care has remained as a top unmet health need for persons with special needs.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the number of patients coming to Toronto is only exponentially growing. So now the clinic's seeing just over 4,500 patients total, and the number is growing exponentially.
How difficult was getting the research, and I mean, you know, to at least using the statistics and everything that you to really
yeah.
give you some.
Well, actually, it was quite easy because the clinic, all the charts and everything is through computers. So I could go and access all the charts, and we had permission from all the patients, of course, and to see how many patients were being seen, how many patients were being referred on, you know, a daily to weekly to monthly basis. And we could really use the numbers to find out, you know, how many patients were being treated and being referred. And in the past decade, so we kind of updated the numbers. In the past decade, the population has more than doubled in presence within the Toronto clinic. So it really shows the trend of the lack of access to care, unfortunately, growing, and it's not just in Ontario, it's across the country. So it's a national and more so international issue.
And it has to be dealt with, correct?
Yes, of course. And so what we did was we wondered, well, why is this occurring? You know, why are the referrals coming, and why aren't the dentists or hygienists in the communities treating these individuals? So we did a survey. And the number one reason that came back was that the dentist or hygienist felt that they didn't feel comfortable because they had never had an interaction with someone who had special needs. So they felt that they would be better treated in the Toronto clinic. And so, and that's really where Oral Health, Total Health became, you know, a program, is because my idea was, let's create a nonprofit organization that our main goal will be to advocate and to educate, to bring the persons with special needs together with dental students. And we host several events throughout the year. We host a carnival, to which is just a positive, non-threatening environment for both dental students to have interactions and to have a fun day with persons with special needs. And at the same time, the persons with special needs to have a great day meeting, you know, dental students and dentists. That's non-threatening. And we've hosted now four annual events in Toronto and both in London, and this year we'll be hosting in Ottawa. And it's having a significant effect. The students are now feeling much more comfortable, and they're seeing them as people, as they should be seen.
Yes.
Know? So, and that's the major goal, is to not see them as someone with a special need, but, you know, they may be a different challenge, and we can all adapt and to treat them the best that we can. So that's okay. Our main goal.
Hi, my name is Stefan. And like that, I'm another person from the Avalanche. What type of special needs people you take care of?
The special needs encompasses everything from mental to physical disability. So that could be someone that was born with a congenital disability, such as muscular dystrophy or cerebral palsy, or it could be something that was acquired throughout their life, such as post-stroke or acquired brain injury, for example. Yeah. And it encompasses anything from physical disabilities, such as quadriplegia, or something where you're wheelchair-bound, or anything to mental retardation to just solely a mental disability. So really, it's an umbrella of essentially any type of special need ranging from mental to physical.
Okay. How much of an impact has your program had on the medical or professional community in terms of dentists and how they approach now that they have some awareness as to how significant or how great the problems are?
Yeah, it's been quite successful in that regard. Even just in Toronto, from hosting our first event to our last event, we had just over 500 attendees in our last event. So the dental students and dental hygiene students are really becoming very involved, and they're really acknowledging the issues that have been existent for so long. But my whole spiel is that we're the next generation, and if we can see the issues, we can make the difference towards them. And a lot of students upon graduation have already approached me, and I've received so many emails of people saying that they're going to open their doors and, you know, accept ODSP, the disability insurance, and mm-hmm. they're going to do their best to treat individuals with any type of special need in their community clinics. So I really hope in the next, you know, 5 years, 10 years, when all these dental students will be graduating and becoming practicing dentists, that we'll really see the effects, and hopefully we'll see less referrals coming to Toronto.
I am aware that your father was also in dentistry, is that correct?
Or yes, actually he still was practicing. He's the chief of the Toronto clinic at Mount Sinai Hospital. So that's another connection that I have. I've grown up in the clinic, and I've I've spent many years working aside him and working with persons with special needs. So that was another another heartstring that I have, linking my passion towards this cause.
So now you have clout in more ways than one.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I just have your clinic, is it in the hospital?
Yes, it is, in the Mount Sinai Hospital.
Yeah, okay. I just have a question Gary was going to ask you about it, so I'm going to ask you because I'm from an organization. It's the Montreal West Rehabilitation Center.
Okay.
In Montreal, and the question is, does Toronto has dental x-ray machines?
Does the hospital have a dental x-ray machine?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Okay, we're trying to find funds to get some dental x-ray machines in hospitals. They don't have them in Montreal.
Oh, okay.
So, like, the people with, because my organization deals with intellectual handicaps, like retarded people, which needs to be sedated to do treatment. So
For general anesthetic.
Yeah, and they, like, the dentists, like, they're doing treatment to blind and
the Sinai Hospital, they've been around since the 1970s, and they were really fully equipped, but one of the reasons why I'm trying to raise money for this clinic specifically is that they've been working, the equipment they're working on is very much out of date, so they're using drills and handpieces that work, but it's not at the caliber where, you know, most private clinics are today. Yeah. So I'm trying to update all of their equipment and their technologies within the clinic so that they'll be able to, you know, continue functioning and providing so much essential care.
Like, one of the guys was talking about this with this, because I'm part of the users committee, and he says, you know, maybe that's why some intellectual handicaps are maybe get grouchy, because maybe they have problems with their teeth, and we don't know
about
that.
It's a very common thing. We see it almost every day. Patients coming in, the first thing we ask, especially patients who may be nonverbal, we ask, you know, have there been any changes in behaviors? Are they not eating things that they normally love to eat? Are they, you know, are they hitting their face? Are they drooling more? All these different, you know, signs and symptoms.
Yeah.
And most commonly they say yes, you know, that, you know, they're not sleeping or they're not, they're refusing to eat their candy or whatever they like. And we look in their mouth, and of course what we find are teeth that are destroyed or, you know, infection or disease that needs to be treated.
Yeah,
and it's really unfortunate when there's such a wait list at Sinai, for example. These individuals should be seen at least 3 to 4 times a year by either a hygienist or a dentist, but unfortunately they're being seen maybe once or twice.
Yeah, yeah, because the government programs demand that that's the limit that they can look, they can expect.
Yeah. And that's another, so there's kind of three barriers currently, and one of them, of course, is the ODSP programs or the government programs in regards to both the amount of compensation they offer, which is much lower than what most clinics, the fee guides are, and the second is the restrictions that they have on amounts of cleanings they can have and amounts of, you know, x-rays that can be covered. And so it's definitely a barrier that we're trying to, you know, work with and
around
try to improve as well.
Yeah. Now, Allison, could you, like, so the goal is to make all the people, as well as the patients and the clientele and the professionals in dentistry and otherwise, how important this is, and so to provide at least decent oral care for better health.
Exactly. Yeah, that is our main goal, really, to make oral health care as universally accessible to all persons, no matter what disability they may or may not have.
So,
you know, for me, for example, I could pick up the phone or go to the corner and see a dentist, but if I was in a wheelchair, if I had any type of special need, from the research, what we found is that they can't do that. And many go to several clinics and are being either referred or refused treatment. And that just is something that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah. And as these clientele and patients, I suppose you could call them, okay, if that's a proper term, have to always go to the same clinic and deal with the same people, it provides them with an element of security and well-being, because there are certain parts of the population that have to do with disabilities that need that type of security and reassurance.
Yes, and that's the other goal, is that the vision is if every dental student upon graduation treats one or two persons with special needs in their clinics, that will reduce the wait list for the patients that really do need to be seen within the hospital setting, because there are some patients that do have a very compromised medical situation, and they really should be seen within a hospital setting compared to a private clinic.
Of course.
So it really would help everybody across the board.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
So in your hopes that this program, as it sounds like it's a great initiative and not only idea on your part, but, you know, as you mentioned before, the upcoming generation seems to have a different perception.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and it's like an art thing, too. It's like the hospitals have to have the proper equipment to, like, have these dental x-ray machines in their in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it definitely helps so you can provide comprehensive care. Yeah. That is for sure.
Yeah.
Do you think that all these changes will help improve and make the dental, and make the profession, the dental profession itself, you know, with a different image? And I know, you know, it's been there for many, many years, but in all these changes would surely make it, a good thing for all.
Yes, I definitely think so. I think this is this is very much putting the patient first, and I call it putting the love back into dentistry, because you're treating people, you know, you're treating individuals. You're not just treating a tooth or infection or anything. So and these individuals, you know, as the research shows, we know that many of them suffer from greater prevalence of oral disease and and many living in community homes, they don't often get the oral hygiene care that they should on a day-to-day basis. So these individuals, upon coming to any clinic, really should be of top priority. And I think that the mindset of all dental students, you know, from hearing, because we provide lecture presentations and these events that we get as many dental students involved in, and the goal is for us to go expand across Canada and reach every faculty of dentistry. So from UBC to Dalhousie and out in Halifax, we want every dental school to have an oral health, total health branch and host the same events, the Sharing Smiles Days, bringing persons with special needs together with the dental students.
And the McGill School of Dentistry, I suppose.
Yeah, and McGill, that's on our list as well. So our plan is to really go and expand to all dental schools so that not only in Ontario, but in every province and territory, we have improvement of access to dental care.
That's great.
Sorry, Alan. I'm going to ask Gary, because he's in a wheelchair, about Montreal. How accessible are dentist places in Montreal, Gary?
Private clinics aren't always that accessible. There are some boundaries and barriers. You have to call ahead of time mostly. But in places like where I go at the Royal Vic Clinic, my file or dossier has been there for a long time, and so that's where I go. At least it is why I had chosen one of those, and like the Montreal General and stuff, and then some university clinics, these clinics with students during the, but these are clinics that exist during the summer, and that they provide us with basic dental care like fillings, cleanings, and whatever for free.
Oh, that's very good.
Often, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So can I be allowed to just give your phone number on the air?
Sure.
You know, and maybe you'll get some hits on your website.
Yeah,
or
for sure.
Even phone, you know, and anything that can be done to promote your program.
Yes, so that'd be very appreciated. Our website is www.ohth.ca.
Okay.
And our email is simply info, so info, at ohth.ca.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And the phone number is 1-416-598-3323.
Yes.
So I'd like to say, if there is nothing else that you would like to add, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me. I greatly appreciate
you.
It.
You've been a joy and a pleasure, and don't forget to send us a line when you officially, have those letters that make you a doctor in dentistry, and I wish you all the best.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.